Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, Simon.
Well, for everyone, I hope you guys all had a nice, good summer and everything. Welcome to Simon and Dave's Brainstorm for 2021.
Beautiful. September 2021. That's amazing. Yeah, we were off from some of the summer. So how was your summer, Simon?
Yeah, it was pretty good, but I was getting very bored. I didn't know what to do. I had to look after my mom. I had to look after my health. So in this break of summer, I did some blood work, checked up my heart. So I did some things that I had to attend to through the summer.
Nice. Good. Getting yourself all ready. Getting yourself all equipped and checked out so you can start you can start to fall off in good shape. That sounds really promising. I had the same. It was a good summer for me. You know, we did a lot of camping. You know, I'm a guy is my early 50s and I'm going camping. Can you believe it? I wish my back was in its early 20s. That would be easier to go camping. Because it's sleeping on the floor. Well, we sleep on air mattresses. It's hard. But a lot of fun. A lot of fun. And just being out in nature, being connected to the trees. You know, one of the cool things living in Ontario, living in this part of Canada, is we have so much wildlife. We have so much forest, so many forests. So it's really, really amazing. You can just drive an hour out of Toronto and you're like in the middle of you know, the wilderness. And it's really nice.
Really nice.
Are you an outdoor kind of guy?
No, I'm out. I stay up all night, can't sleep because I'm not a person to be camping or anything. Because I tried it with one of my cousins and I couldn't sleep. I was up all night. I'm a person that at a certain time of the day, close to 9:30,
right.
I'm getting ready to go to bed to get up early in the morning, like 7:30, to start my caring for my mom. So I'm an early riser. So camping out or anything is not something that I would do.
Interesting. Well, I mean, you can do what my brother does. My brother goes camping with us. He comes with his 14-year-old daughter, and we all camp, like me, my sister and the kids, and, you know, and my wife and my sister's husband. We all sort of camp together, and then my brother comes in, and he hangs out, and he does the campfire and the songs and you know, and then when everybody else is going in their tents, he always gets a motel room, him, and then they just drive to the motel. So they spend the night in the motel, and in the morning they wake up and they have a shower, and then they come down and hang out with us for the afternoon and for the night. And that's what works for him. Maybe that's what works for you. Maybe if you ever go camping, you can stay in the motel and not have to sleep on the floor. And I'll be honest with you, Simon. Maybe I can start doing that myself because my back's not what it used to be. But anyway, still it's fun. I love being out in the wilderness. I love seeing all the stars. You know, so like There's so many stars, right? When you're in the city, there's like so few stars. But it is.
With this radio show that we're doing, Dave.
Yeah.
I don't know. Sometimes I feel like a star.
Oh, well, there you go. You are a star. You're a internet radio star. You're, what do they call those guys? Influencers. You should have to be an influencer. Go on YouTube and start your own station. It's crazy, Simon, how young people can connect with other people. I'm not young. I say young, but it means anybody. But really, it's younger people who do this kind of stuff. They can connect with anybody. They can become famous for being famous. Really, there's nothing. You don't really need to have any skills or talent. You just need to market yourself well. So you should be a star too with this radio show. Just the person you are. That's pretty awesome.
Well,
you can start.
My specialist that I have on Fridays, she says that I'm for what I do, volunteering or doing what I'm doing over the radio show, she says I'm a spokesperson for people with brain injuries.
You are a spokesperson. You not only are you a spokesperson, you're also providing people with a venue to share their stories. So I think of what you do in a lot of different ways. First of all, you let people tell their stories. And as you know, and as we know, and as we've come to learn doing this show for the last couple of years, every person that survived a brain injury has an incredible story, a story of rebirth, second chapter. So that's amazing. And you also, what's really cool is we've told a lot of stories and we sort of, because once, as you know, once we tell the story, once we finish the episode of the radio show, a Blog Talk Radio brings takes the show and turns it into a podcast and puts it in iTunes or whatever, you know, whatever platform you use. And then it's there forever. So then you can, you know, so we have all these amazing stories that have been captured and are available for anyone to listen to on iTunes and little snippets. So, you know, we did our Christmas specials. We talked about Christmas memories. And then we have special events. We, you know, we put on the play a couple of years ago and then we did we talked to people who were part of the play. And, you know, we have round tables where clients talk about their experiences and share, you know, and I love that we're a Canadian show in this American pod because it's, I don't know if Kim at one point told me we're the only Canadian show there. I mean, that was a few years ago. There might be another Canadian show too, but it's just so neat. And then the other cool thing, and something that we're going to talk to today is not only do we have all these amazing people that have share their stories about their experiences with brain injury, we've also talked to quite a few staff and family members, and we listen to their story because I kind of think that people, you know, that go into this line of work tend to be really interesting people. I don't want to say, I hate the word special because, but they're interesting people and they kind of come to this for quite altruistic reasons. They really want to help. And so one of the cool things, and we'll do this today, is in a few minutes after we chatter on for a bit, we'll call our Tony. And Tony works as a community facilitator in a nonprofit agency in Toronto. And we'll listen to his story and find out why he does what he does. And and what's really cool is, and I think Tony's worked in Canada and in the States, so he might have a different perspective from both experiences. Speaking of Canada, yesterday was an election. We had a federal election. The big joke or the big, I don't know if it's a joke, the incumbents, the Liberals, called for the election. It's a little bit different. We're a little different than in the States that you can call for an election in Canada. They thought, they had a minority government where they only had, you know what a minority government is. And so they thought, maybe we can get a majority government. Let's call an election. They called an election. The opposing parties, made quick note of the fact that it was $600 million, and in the middle of what we're calling the fourth wave, that the Liberals, the incumbents, decided to call this election. They call the election, they run the election, they make us all vote, which is, you know, the democratic way. And then it turns out that it's pretty much exactly the same result as they had before they called the election. So you could say $600 million for the exact same result. But anyway, I heard you went to vote.
Yeah, I went to vote, and it looked like there was not many people there when I walked into.
What time did you go?
I got there almost like when it was closing time. I went to the Holiday Inn to do my voting, because the school that I would go do my votes was not providing the center for the voting this year.
Interesting. Yeah, you know what? They were really limiting the amount of polling stations they had because of COVID. So anything that was kind of a smaller place, like we usually vote at a school that's about a 2-minute walk away. But because it's a fairly small school with a fairly small gym, they decided not to have it there. So like you, we had to go sort of farther away. Like you, we voted right at the end. I think I voted like 8:30. But unlike you, we had a lineup that went forever. I felt like the last time I was in line for so long was when I went and got in line to see the Rolling Stones in 1989. That's the last time I waited in line for so long. But anyway, you voted, and I guess we're happy we can vote, right? At least we have a say in matters.
Yeah. We're the people that make sure the government does their work. If they don't do it, the people are going to start throwing people out the door.
Yeah. It's funny. In the States, there's really two parties, the Democrats and the Republicans. In Canada, we have liberals who are kind of, they're kind of center, maybe left, center left. And the conservatives who are maybe center right. And then we have the NDP, which are quite left, quite socialist. And then we also have a couple of other groups. We also have a group called the Bloc de Québécois, who are the who have quite a large foothold in the province of Quebec, because as I'm sure some of you guys know, the Canada is bilingual; it's French and English. But a huge majority of the French-speaking country people live in Quebec, and so they run. They often it's really neat. Like we're a large country with 1/10 the population of the United States, but we have real interesting, like we're really pockets of people, right? We have the East Coast people and the BC people and the guys in the prairies and the Ontario people and the Quebec. And we all sort of, and we're connected through Canada, but it really feels like we're not as united as the United States, where I think people are American first. But anyway, it's interesting. It's interesting that we voted and that it was good. It was good that we voted. So we're gonna give Tony a call, and then we're gonna have a little chat with him. And Simon, you did all the legwork. You sort of set this interview up, and you are gonna do most of the questioning. So I look forward to it.
With your help, because sometimes.
Oh, dude, I'll help you. If I don't help you, I'll feel like I'm not doing nothing. Yeah, but my pleasure. All right, this is my favorite part of the day. This is when we find out if the number I was given is right, and if the person's awake. As you know, guys, it's a little bit later out here in the East Coast. Well, Eastern time zone. We're not on the East Coast. It's right now quarter after 10. All right, let's give Tony a call.
Hello.
Welcome to Simon and Dave's Brainstorm, Tony. How are you?
Doing well, Simon. How about you?
Pretty well. Could be better, you know.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I'm the guy who would say it could be worse, it could be better. I'll take what I have.
I like it. How you doing, Tony?
Doing well, Dave. How about you?
Good. I'm rocking good. And rolling, buddy. I'm excited to talk to you. I know Simon did a lot of the legwork, and he's gonna sort of he has the questions sort of that we're gonna work on and talk to you about. But always yeah. good to have a Philadelphia Eagle fan in on the radio show. You guys look pretty
go Eagles.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's good. We were talking about the election and how we ended up where we started, sort of, but at least we had to do the due process, so that was kind of interesting.
Yes, we
and,
did.
Catching up on the summer. We didn't do a show in August, so it's been a couple of months since we were on, and
mm-hmm.
Simon was talking about some of the stuff he did. I was talking about my camping experience. Did you have a good summer, Tony?
Oh, I had a wonderful summer.
Yeah.
Doing what I do best, the food hamper program, I guess.
Yeah. Actually, you know what, Tony? Before we start with the questions, you mentioned the food hamper program. So the people that
yes.
are listening to us across the states and in Canada,
mm-hmm.
describe to them, because the food hamper program is something that the organization that we work for, Cheers,
mm-hmm.
sort of developed as a result of COVID, and
yes.
how would you describe it?
Well, it's a program where we provide meals and snacks for some of the clients that, through no fault of theirs, in terms of the fact that they have a brain injury, motivation-wise, and also, I mean, given the situation with COVID, they weren't able to do things or they weren't able to get the support that they needed to provide meals or cook their own food. So we decided, hey, let's put together this program so we can at least once a week provide a good meal to the clients who couldn't. So we have Rochelle and Sean.
Yep.
Who are amazing cooks. I am just there as I call myself the sous chef. They give me what direction, I do what I have to do, and yeah, we get the food ready. We also have the help of one of our clients, Shannon. Her and I, we put together the snack bags, and then Sean and Rochelle put together the meals themselves. We have an amazing supporting staff who come and then assist when the other person is not available. And then also we have a cohort of about 8 of us who do the delivery to the clients on Tuesdays. We went as many as 30 clients, but some of them, because COVID is like not as, how would I put it? Not as
rampant.
Yeah,
sure.
Not as rampant as it was. Some of the guys are doing their own thing. So we are back down to 24 clients, which is still amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, sorry.
Yeah. We have the food rescue program from Longo's, I think, and then also the community farms. They provide us with some of the items that we give away or use to cook, which is good. We also have Shoppers Drug Mart that provides some of the food rescue, and then the biggest part of, or the highlight of a Monday or Tuesday would be the Starbucks food rescue, I would say.
Well, they bring they give you coffee.
They yes, not coffee. I mean, most of the time they're giving us sandwiches. They're giving us
awesome.
Snacks that we add to what we give to the clients. So yes,
amazing.
Amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of, I mean, I'm pretty certain that. I mean, you said you're serving, you know, you serve 24 people and you give them, and it's, like you say, it's a big, huge sort of operation. I mean, you have eight drivers, three cooks if you include yourself. You have support from the from a number of the clients, and you're and you're providing meals for 24 people. And I wonder, because it reminds me a bit of like one of the like you know, as you probably know, Tony, I've been kind of focused on doing a lot of Zoom programming, and it reminds it makes me think like out of this sort of out of this kind of a dire situation these last couple of years. I know that one that the Zoom programming will continue on after we go back to normal. Like we're it's going to be part of the service we deliver when it comes to programming. And I
absolutely.
And I suspect that the food hamper program in some ways will continue sort of it'll come out. Am I correct in saying that?
You are correct. There's a thought of continuing that program. It won't it probably won't be as it is now, but in another shape or form, we will still provide meals for the clients that require or need the meals because they can't do it themselves, right?
It's amazing. It's like, you know, so even out of like, it's, and it, continuously out of dire situations comes positive experiences. Like, that's
really cool. Well, maybe if I ended up living on my own, maybe... maybe Tony would probably be sending me some meals for me to have.
Yeah, maybe. But
maybe.
Simon, if you're living on your own, Simon, and me and Tony came over for dinner, what would you make for us?
I don't know. Maybe try to make some spaghetti and meatballs.
There you go.
All right.
Kids will come too. That's their favorite food. All right.
Well, just to reiterate, there are folks who live with others but still benefit from it, right? So if it is you don't necessarily have to live on your own and not be able to provide the meals, but given your circumstances, if you would benefit from it, we provide that. So just that you know, Simon.
I know if necessary, if my mom can't really cook and if she can't do it, maybe the best way for me to support her in cooking is probably request my name to be on the delivery list. But I don't know.
Absolutely.
I don't know if Cheers would do it for me.
Well, you know.
Well,
that
hey,
is a
talk
great,
about,
a
talk
great
about summer. Wait. Talk about highlights of the summer.
Yeah.
Well, Simon and I do walk on Thursdays, right, Simon?
Yeah.
Yes. It's a wonderful 1 hour time spent together.
I love it.
And you covered for me once, David, right? So
I did. I
thank
covered
you.
Both times. I covered for 2 weeks, and I had the most amazing walks in the rain with Simon. Like,
that's just
a let it rain on them then. Oh yeah, no, it was wonderful. So actually a really cool segue, because Simon, you were mentioning that maybe you know, you'll find out if you needed some help with when it comes to cooking or food delivery or whatever, and that's kind of a segue into what if you want to ask Tony sort of what he does at Cheers and those kind of questions.
Well, okay, Tony.
Yes,
I was,
then.
So what motivated you to go from Africa to the States and from States to Canada?
What was the motivation? The short and simple answer was a better life, right? So that's what led me to leave Ghana, and I ended up in the States. Again, through circumstances, I ended up here in Canada. In the States, it was more about, okay, what do I need to do? What can I do to start my life? So I ended up applying to for a job in the States. I lived in Pennsylvania then, in a little town called Levittown. So I applied to work with Beachwood Rehabilitation Services, which is a brain injury facility in the area where I live. It's actually part of a bigger agency called Wood Services that provides assistance for any and everybody with some sort of developmental disability. So I ended up at Beachwood Rehabilitation Services, which was the brain injury part of that Wood Services organization. So I started there as we here at CHEERS call an RF, residential facilitator. So, and that's how I started. I worked with, there were about, eight clients, four females and four males. So it was like a co-ed building. So we worked together, and actually that's how I started working with folks with acquired brain injury, and eventually ended up liking it. So I stayed with it for 5 years. And then, like I said, circumstances dictated that I come to Canada. So when I came to Canada, and that was in 1999, I decided, hey, I've done work with brain injury, so I started looking at organizations here in the Toronto area that work with brain injury. And lo and behold, CHEERS popped up in my search, right? At that time, I think it was just CHEERS that had a really good website that detailed what they did. So I made a phone call, and they said, sure, come in, let's see what you have, bring your resume. So I did. At that time, it was at Monogram. So that is where I took my resume, but then my actual interview was at Alderbrain, which is one of the residences there. So that's how come I ended up with CHEERS, and this was March 2002. So not long after you came on board, Dave.
No, yeah, I think I was on board January of that year, January 2002.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
So let me just ask you, because a lot to unpack there. You said you were born in Ghana.
Yes, I was born in Ghana.
And then when did you move to Levittown?
Levittown. That's 1989. Yes.
Okay. And so you were a young man.
Yeah, I was a young man. I'm still a young man at heart.
Yeah, you're still a young man at heart, buddy.
I guess she did.
Just as long as you know that our students, Simon, we get students that come from a nearby university, and the students were born after me and Tony started working at CHEERS. But that's okay. We're young men. We're all young.
Simon had a question.
Yes, Simon.
Well, I have a question. How old were you when you started this, Tony? How old were you?
He was three.
Can I plead a fifth on that one?
Yeah, you can take the fifth. But you're getting bogged down in numbers, but I'm just so curious. Like, if you can describe to us, I don't know, in a paragraph or two, what was growing up like in Ghana? Like, did you live in one of the bigger cities? Did you live in a rural area?
Well, I lived in one of the big cities and went to school in two other big cities. So I grew up in Accra.
Okay.
Went to a boarding school in Cape Coast called St. Augustine's College.
Nice.
So for 7 years, And then I went to university in another big city called Kumasi, which is in like central Ghana. It was then called the University of Science and Technology, but it's been changed now to the Kwame Nkrumah University of Science and Technology. So they added the founder of Ghana's independence to the university. So, yes. But my mom and my dad grew up in a village, and when we were kids, we'd go to the villages. In where we had a long vacation in the summer, we'd go there and hang out with the grandpas and grandmas and cousins and things like that. So, yes. Yeah.
Nice. What would you... Mm-hmm. What was the biggest difference, like, what's between living, between going to the village and living in the city?
Ah. Well, in the village, there's only one street going through.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And then you have your buildings on the sides, and the roads were not tarred, so it was dirt road. Whereas in the city, you had your buildings, several streets and all those things, different buildings. Yeah, pretty much, I would say, night and day.
Night and day, yeah. And then yeah. And then you did another night and day move and went to the States.
Yes.
And then stayed there for, I guess, about a decade, 10 years?
Close to, yeah.
Yes. All right, yeah. Simon, you're up.
Tony. Since you were in Ghana, when you were growing up, did you have the shoes to walk on those rocks, or did you walk barefoot?
Well, there were times that we walked barefoot, and there were times that we had shoes. So what I mean by that is, I mean, when we go out to go and play, for example, barefoot. We played soccer barefoot. We ran around barefoot. But when we're going to school, we had shoes on. This is when we're primary school or grade school, I would say. But in the university, we had you have to have your sneakers, your dress shoes, you know, boarding school. So, yeah.
And when you were a kid in Ghana, what did you want? Like when I was a kid, I wanted to be a football player for a while, and then I mostly wanted to be a doctor. What did you have any aspirations or did you have any dreams when you were a kid?
What do you want? I wanted to be a doctor. I went to school, but ended up as a biological scientist. So that is my degree, and I worked with. In fact, I graduated with some microbiology as my focus. So I worked with Noguchi Memorial Institute of Technology, it's called Memorial Institute. Noguchi Memorial Institute of, forgotten the name now. Shame. But yeah, I worked there in the biological department, and we did one of the major things that we did was testing the coastal waters of Ghana just to see the bacterial quality of the beaches in Ghana. So from one end in the west, which was Agrim, to the east, which was Keta. So we'll collect sea samples from various spots and then come to the lab in Accra and test them to see, hey, what are the levels of bacteria in those beaches. And I presented a paper on that in August 1989. I presented a paper on that. So, yes.
That's pretty amazing. I didn't know about that.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Now, let's bring you. I just want to bring you back to Toronto for a second and ask you. You're working at a nonprofit, community-based organization called Community Head Injury Resource Services out of Toronto.
Yeah.
And what do you do at Cheers?
Community facilitator right now. What I do is there are clients who live either on their own, they live in long-term care places, or they live with family who require assistance to be able to live their lives to the best of their abilities. So I, as a community facilitator, will go out there and support the clients to do what they have to do. So, for example, in like we were talking about in Simon's case, Simon said, hey, I used to go to the gym, but I can't go to the gym right now. What can we do? So I said, hey, we can start walking, right? So yeah. In Simon's case, we started walking. We'll walk 30 minutes each way. Recently, there's a little bit of a stop there to get Tim Hortons coffee, but
what?
Yeah. Yes. And then also there are folks who require assistance with, hey, banking and budgeting. There's folks who require assistance with, okay, I need to go to see the doctor, but I can't understand, or I need somebody to help me navigate what I need to do after the doctor's appointment in terms of following up with strategies or treatment plans. So those are some of the things that we do with folks who live in the community.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Simon?
Okay, Tony.
Talk to me.
You do, since you do stuff like that, since I'm a volunteer at a hospital, Toronto General Hospital, what kind of services do you do if someone is doing community service?
Okay. If someone, for example, has a volunteer position, in your case, in a hospital setting, for example, we know that as a result of cognitive difficulties, trying to go from one chore or from one place to another sometimes provides some sort of challenges. So what I would do as a community facilitator would be, hey, how can we break this task down into simple steps so that it becomes easier for the client we're helping to do it? So so we put things in place to help support whoever it is that wants to do something like that, because sometimes it's challenging. And because of cognitive difficulties, it becomes overwhelming to do all those things. So we break down the steps into simple steps so that you can the client can sort of do one thing at a time and not get overwhelmed. And then sometimes it's also a way of learning, right? So it's called a support procedure. You put things in place so that the client learns one thing at a time and then add on to whatever the client has learned. And as you continue to do it over and over again, they get used to it and they can do it on their own to a certain extent.
Very cool.
Mm-hmm.
One of the cool things that Simon met with you and he kind of figured out some questions to ask you. So he did all the work and I just get to take the fun questions. So he gave me this one to ask you. The question is did your mother encourage you to go get into this field? Is there a story about that?
Well, mom did not encourage me specifically to go into the field of brain injury. What I know mom always said was, go to school, finish your school, and everything else that you want, you can do. So most importantly, she encouraged us, my brothers and I, my brothers and sisters and I, to go to school, finish school, and then we can do whatever we wish to do. But in doing that, she asked us to take it seriously. We grew up as Catholics, so it was more about, hey, you have to do this in a way so that you would bring you bring Christ to those who need it, right? So specifically for me, everything and every day when I do anything at all, I know I want to do it to the best of my ability. So I try my best to do it to the best of my ability, knowing that I am bringing help to the other person who needs it so that life becomes easier for them. And that is what mom taught us. So, yes.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Simon, do you have a question? Or?
Well, what is your goal in, I don't know, say 30 years from now?
Waking up. I love it, Simon. 30 years.
Okay. Whoa. All right.
What's
how
your
30
year plan, Tony?
Yes. I understand what you're trying to ask, Simon. In all seriousness, it is my there is not much in terms of what I would like to do differently. But at the same time, I would want to say that going forward, I can still provide my services, even if it's not at Cheers, wherever I am, and in whatever capacity I find myself, to provide my services to whoever needs it. And like I said earlier on, I will do it to the best of my ability, making sure that I bring my best out to help the other person. So
it.
Whether it's 5 years, 15, 20, or 30, as you put it, Simon, I will do my best.
Another one of the questions that Simon, that I thought was a really cool question that Simon told me I could ask you was, how long do you think, what do you see as your biggest challenge when you're working with people with brain injury? What are your, like, biggest challenges?
I think for a period of time there, right, it was about, okay, we've done this over and over again, and I'm not seeing results, right? Based on the fact that, given the nature of brain injury, sometimes it's challenging in itself, right? But I have come to understand that with brain injury, every small step is a victory. So in as much as you would want to see results or clients attain their goals in a timely fashion, right? You have to recognize the fact that you need to understand also that it won't come as fast as you would want it to. So you have to take your successes a little bit at a time, because that's just the nature of brain injury. So I would say that has been a challenge for me. But at the same time, I have come to recognize that, yeah, Rome wasn't built in a day.
It's a good lesson.
I don't really have much, but it was a very interesting story there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you have a favorite moment or favorite time at Cheers in your last whatever? I guess it's been 20 years old.
Yeah. I know.
That's coming up quick, isn't it? That'll be.
Oh,
it's hard
yeah.
to believe because it just, you know, to talk very, it feels like I remember all, you know, we have yearly holiday parties, and I remember
mm-hmm.
a holiday party that I was with Amanda already, so I was probably, you know, I maybe had been at Cheers
mm-hmm.
four or five years, and I was sitting at a table with Colin and Peter and Roy, and they were all
yeah.
celebrating their 10th anniversary, and
mm-hmm.
I was like, you guys are old timers. There's no way I'll be here 10 years. Now next year I'll be doing 20, and it was like
you'd be 20
in a flash.
And it's been a wonderful experience, and
yeah.
I wouldn't trade it in for anything else. I have seen a lot of change within the agency itself, and a lot of changes within the clients that. Have been there all this time that I have been there, and it's an amazing journey, and I wouldn't trade it for anything else.
Oh, very cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, but do you have a favorite memory, or did it sort of all?
I think for me it's always been the. Like I mentioned earlier on, I want to see clients attain the goals. I want to see this happen. And without mentioning names, it's like seeing this particular client who was always angry when you went to visit, didn't want to do anything, wanted to do everything on his own, or wanted to do it the way he wanted to do it, and to see the change in terms of, okay, we do banking and budgeting. And it's come to the point where, yeah, every month it's like, okay, we got to go banking, and then we go and do whatever we have to do, and we don't have any issues like we used to have. So in that instance, for me, it's great. That's a lot of change.
That. I totally agree. And I don't know, Simon, if you agree that you have to judge success by the smallest of metrics, the smallest baby steps. And then before you know it, you look back and there's been like 73 baby steps and you realize, wow, I really mm-hmm. moved. But you don't mm-hmm. even notice it when you're doing it, you know? So,
yeah.
Well,
congrats.
For me, coming through this summer, going to the new year, I make in the hospital 5 years.
Congratulations. Awesome.
That is.
So,
do you get a special? Do you get something special for 5 years, Simon?
Yeah, a dinner, but I don't know if it's going to happen because of COVID. I don't have any idea if... if it's going to happen, unless I do a checkup on it, when Tony has a bit of a chance.
Yep, we will do that on Thursday. We will do that on Thursday. Yes. You and I will make that call on Thursday.
Mm. Nice.
Yes.
Tony, I had one more question. I want to go on my own here.
Yes.
So you mentioned that you worked in the ABI world
mm-hmm.
in Pennsylvania.
Yes.
And I just wanted to know, as somebody who's had the unique experience of working in the ABI field in the States and in Canada, mm-hmm. I know it was quite a few years ago that you worked in Pennsylvania, but was there a difference? Is there a difference, or is it fairly similar?
It's fairly similar. And it's the same thing that you have clients who have goals, and you try and get the clients to attain that goal. I think the difference between Beechwood and Cheers, to a certain extent, we now have OT, an OT in-house OT.
Yeah.
In where at Beechwood, there was actually a section for rehab staff, where there was an OT or the PT. So they were on site, right?
Right.
So you didn't have to go out to go and get all those services. They were in-house. So that's the difference. But at the same time, it's not different here in terms of if you need those services, you can always outsource or go and get it somewhere else. So it works the same way. Yeah.
So, Tony, I'm asking because I'm ignorant of this. We are in Canada. I mean, cheers. We are what's called nonprofit, and we're funded by the government. Are most of the American places also funded that way, or are they more private?
I think it was more private at Beechwood.
Right.
So yeah, just like the fee for service. But I know there were. I mean, on the other side of the agency where they had the developmental disabilities, those I think was funded by the government.
Interesting. Interesting.
Yeah.
Do you keep in touch with anybody from there, or the sort of?
Over the years, it has fizzled off.
Sure.
I would say, yeah, it has fizzled off. But actually, was it sometime last year? Out of curiosity, I said, "Hey, let me go and check out the website." The website has totally changed. Then it's like, wow. So they've grouped the whole thing, the whole agency, like I was talking about, Woods Services. Because when I was there, Beechwood had their own website, right? But now Woods Services has a huge website, and it breaks it down into different departments. So that was cool.
Yeah.
That is neat.
Yeah.
And most of the senior management that was there, they are no longer there. So, yeah. I mean, it's been a while. So
yeah, it's been 20 years.
To be there. Yeah, yeah.
So it's been a long summer. Did you watch anything? Did you recommend to us? Did you, I don't know if you binge on Netflix. Did you get inspired by anything? Did you watch?
Well, I watched. I'm a Jason Bourne guy, so
okay.
I think I have watched the series about six times in the summer because every time it's on TV, I'm watching it, even though I have the DVDs. Yeah, so but.
That might be unhealthy, Tony. We'll have to get you some.
But there is a Netflix series that I have watched over a few. I started last year, thanks to my daughter. It's called The Money Heist.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
They've come out with a fifth part. But I'm dreading starting to watch it because then I wouldn't have anything else to watch. But I know I'm going to watch it one of these days.
I love it. My daughter Ruby is the same. She gets so excited, and then she knows it's only an episode or two later. She goes through some sort of withdrawal, like this like reality that's going to end, and she gets very
scared. Yeah.
Like, well.
Yeah.
Nice.
But
hey,
yeah.
Dave, I got a question for you.
For me, sure.
Let's see how I'm going to do. Since you and Tony came in close to the same time, what has changed at Cheers since you've been there?
My hair color? what has changed? That's a good question. I mean, you know, know what? When me and Tony first came in 2002 or whatever, technologically wise, we didn't have internet in the residences.
No.
Yeah. So, both of us, we my job has changed. Both of our jobs, we've moved from the residences to head office. That's a bit of a difference.
Head office. Yeah.
Yeah. What else? I mean, there's been a lot. You know,
What has changed is the new head office.
Yes,
right?
That's true.
Yeah. It used to be a Monogram. And I would say that the number of clients that we serve at Cheers has also increased tremendously.
Yeah.
We have, because of the adult day services program that we have, running programs in the community, we have several clients that come to participate in those programs, and that has actually increased the number of clients that we serve as an agency. The other thing also that has changed is we have become community partners with other agencies. Dave, yeah, good luck, and thank you for that. We have other agencies coming in from Peterborough, from Dave, help me out here.
Yeah, we have Peterborough, London, lots of cities around Toronto.
Toronto.
Hamilton and Muskoka, Ottawa. Well, the magic of Zoom has allowed us to connect with so many people.
Yes.
Because of it's so easy to connect online. Yeah, it's been a big change.
Yeah.
Funny.
That's a big change.
Yeah. It's because, you know what, when me and Tony started, it was already, Cheers had already been operating for a number of years. But it felt like back then it was still at the end of sort of it was a lot smaller. Like we didn't see as many clients.
It was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And because our, you know, we've had the same executive director since this whole thing started, since Cheers started. Mm-hmm. So it's always been and it's always been like a family. So we've had a expanded family it's a great question, Simon. It's a great question.
Yeah, and the number of Cheers babies we've had.
Sure. Oh my god.
that includes yours, Dave.
Yeah, my oldest baby is a teenager now, so that's okay. And are both your girls finished university now?
Yes, they have. Yes. But they're not Cheers babies. They were born before Cheers.
That is true. That
so,
is very
yeah.
Cheers kids. Yeah, we had a lot of fun. Oh my goodness.
Yes.
That's fun.
That has changed, Simon. Lots of Cheers babies.
Lots of Cheers babies. And now you have some of the Cheers babies, like who was I? Eileen's daughter is working at the residence. So we had the kids of the old now having
the
working.
Old,
yeah, so it's amazing.
Second generation
well,
Cheers.
So you guys are telling me, since I came in 2012, somewhere there, 2010, 2012, you're telling me that all that is a very big organization, and you're telling me your kids are working with people with brain injuries.
That's a little bit, Simon. I think I was saying some of the people's kids are working with people with brain injuries. I will tell you that my daughter's 13, and next year she'll be 14. And when you're 14, you can volunteer in some capacity with Cheers. And I mean, Ruby's been doing little things here and there for years, but I'm excited that when she's 14, I hope that she has the opportunity to do some stuff here and to work with people and get inspired by the clients, because I don't think there's anybody more inspiring than the clients at Cheers, because, or any place with an ABI, because they're people that have had, you know, they've had like the worst, like horrible experience, like not horrible, but like a life-changing experience. And they sort of fought through it. And I think that's so inspirational for school kids who sometimes go, oh my God, I have a zit, or oh my God, I got a C-, or I broke up with my girlfriend or boyfriend, And so it's amazing to hear these stories. And you go, well, listen, look what Simon did with his life.
Mm-hmm.
Look what's, you know, how mm-hmm. he picked up the pieces after his experience. And so
mm-hmm.
I'm excited for her, not only to be giving back, like I agree very much with your mom, Tony, like it's so important to give back and to be help society get better, but also
mm-hmm.
for her to sort of recognize, to draw inspiration from the people that she's helping, because there's a lot of
mm-hmm.
inspiration to draw from.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And like you're saying, I mean, when you look at the changes that we see in our clients, that we've seen in our clients over the years, it makes it worthwhile doing what we do.
100%.
Yes.
100%.
Yes.
Thank you, Simon.
You're welcome.
All right, Tony.
I got another question for you, Dave, or Tony can answer as well.
Okay.
Since a lot of things have changed, but what's the challenges when you have new clients coming in? What is your challenges with them?
I think getting to know them in the beginning is one of the challenges, right? Because when you're coming into service, there is, the regular, I would say, you go through the intake process, and intake has all the notes and everything about the person that we are supposed to serve, right? But that's just what's on paper. And getting to know the person is always different from what's on paper, because times change, people change, and coming into a new environment, you notice that it's not the same as it was, and sometimes people's attitudes are such that, hey, I'm in a new environment, I can test the system, you know, things like that. And we have to come up with strategies to help that person adjust. And so sometimes it takes us to adjust, and it takes the new client to also adjust to coming into service for the first time.
Yeah.
With us, I should say.
I agree with that.
I've been fired a few times by new clients. So.
That's true. Me too. To piggyback on that thought, and this is almost a cliche that's heard all across, I'm sure, the Green Industry Radio Network, but no two clients are the same. So you really have to learn a person fresh. I mean, there may be some behaviors or maybe some personality traits that are similar to somebody else, but really you've got to immerse yourself in that person's patterns and personality and passions, because everybody with a brain, every brain injury is different. And so you really have to, absolutely. So that's one of the challenges, Simon. Simon, you're rocking. You're knocking these questions off left and center. You got any more?
Those are just off the top of the head when I'm listening
to
your
story. Well, the top of the
head
is working well today, I tell you. Those are great questions. All right. So,
all right.
Tony,
it's already 11:02. I don't know if you want to continue, Tony, Dave,
well,
or
I think,
you want to.
Tony needs his beauty sleep. So let you drift off. And what is the highlight for tomorrow, Tony?
Well, the highlight for tomorrow, stretches and exercise with the client in the afternoon.
Love it.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah. And right. I mean, this COVID thing has made it such that it's important to move, right? So most clients are looking at ways to engage themselves, even if not to the extent of what they used to do, at least to a certain extent, they want to do things that will keep them engaged. So we're doing that. Yeah.
A good thing. And it's, you're right.
I mean, yeah, I walk on Thursday. I used to walk on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. So yeah, in addition to my own walking. So when I look at the end of the day, when I look at the number of steps I'm taking, it's like, all right, you did it.
All right, you're doing all right. Do you have one of those fitness or whatever? Do you have that?
No, it's on my phone. It's on my phone. My phone tracks that automatically. Yes.
Very nice. See, yes. We didn't have that. We didn't have smartphones 20 years ago.
No,
the differences. We had to count our steps, and very few of us did. It's a lot of counting. All right.
And now we can have phone calls on our phones. Work phone calls on our phones.
That's right.
You don't have to be tied. You don't have to be tied to a landline at work to receive your phone calls. So yeah.
Now you're connected.
The beauty of innovation. No, not 24/7. 9 to 5. 9 to 5.
9 to 5. I thought you said 95. I was like, man.
No. 9 to 5.
9 to 5. I love it. Well,
9 to 5.
Thank you so much, mm-hmm. Tony, for stepping outside of your 9 to 5 and spending some time with us late on a Tuesday night. And I'll send you the link. We will be on iTunes, so you can share this with anyone.
I was actually listening to you guys before my phone call. Yeah, I heard all your shenanigans about camping and your brother-in-law going to sleep in a hotel and then coming back. Hey, Dave, let me ask you a question. Do you take your guitar?
Please.
Do you take your guitar on your camping trips? Do you take it?
Okay, let me tell you this, because this is a story that since you asked. So we went camping 4 times. The last time we went was going to be the big family adventure with my brother, my sister, my mom came,
mm-hmm.
and I spent all summer practicing 14 songs. Songs that I was going to play at the campfire. You know, my Oasis, my Beatles, the Tragically Hip, all
mm-hmm.
those guys. Wouldn't you know it, I forgot my freaking guitar.
Oh, no.
I know. I was so excited. I'd practiced it. I'd committed, you know, because for me, the hard part, for most musicians, the hard part is remembering the words. I remembered most of the words. Amanda promised to sing the parts I didn't remember, and then I forgot the freaking guitar. It was the most saddest thing.
And you couldn't go to a place and rent one?
Hey, don't worry about the canoes. Can I rent a guitar?
anyway,
that's a good question. Well, next year. There's always next year.
There's always next year.
Oh, I love it.
And instead of 14, you'd go up to 28.
Yeah, of course. I'll do a double album. I'll have people throwing things at me to stop talking. And then the year after that, my wife will hide my guitar.
Yeah. I doubt you'd do that. Yeah. Anyway, Simon, thank you. It's great what you're doing in terms of this podcast thing. Keep it up. And David, I don't know what to say. Like I keep telling you all the time, you are an amazing young man because you do all these things right off the seat. And it's like you're going up and down. You're doing it. It comes easy to you to do such things. And it's amazing.
Thanks, Tony. You have an amazing amount of skills, too. The only thing I can't stand about you is your love of the Eagles, but that's all right.
Well, too bad.
You got to
deal with that.
They look good. That new quarterback, that rookie quarterback, is really good. I know this is not the right forum, but I was impressed. It's Monday night, man. Monday night is going to be a fun night.
It's going to be a fun night.
Yeah, because the Cowboys are clicking. I mean, their defense is putrid, but their offense is rocking, and it'll be a lot of fun on Monday night.
Maybe we should watch it on Zoom together. No,
maybe. As long as I can keep away.
I'll be very honest. I only watched the first half of the Monday Nighter, and then the rest I just leave to whatever, because I can't stay up and watch it because I have to be up early the following morning. And so,
yeah,
they should change it to Friday Night Football. Then we'll stay up all night.
They should have Friday Night. And honestly, I don't know if you agree, Tony, but Saturday, you know, when they have the playoffs and they have the games on Saturday night.
Yes.
Those are the best nights to watch football. Because,
right,
like the Monday night game and the Sunday night games, they go so late and you got to work the next day. If they had a
you
Saturday
gotta work
night
the
game,
day. Yeah.
And you wait, you know, or Friday night game. Why don't they come?
Friday night game.
Friday night game. I'm going to call the commissioner. I won't get that. I'll get Simon to do it. Simon get stuff done. I'm going to get Simon to call the commissioner of the NFL and start having some Friday night games.
Hey, Simon.
Yes, Dave.
Who's your favorite NFL or CFL team?
The Buffalo Bills.
All right.
Okay.
That's fair.
All right. All right.
I like that.
Okay.
I like that. Probably the best of the three.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Well, good.
All right.
I have a great
night.
Thanks, guys. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks
very much for your candid answers. Thanks for everything you do at Cheers, man. You're one of the special ones. So it was really nice to talk to you and find out some stuff that even after 20 years I didn't know. So that was awesome.
All right. Thanks.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
Well, that was fun.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
I didn't get the chance to ask him about baseball, but I've been watching a little bit of the games, but do you think the Blue Jays will make it to the playoffs? Because they're in the wild card.
I think the Toronto Blue Jays have peaked at the right time. They're really firing on all cylinders. They picked up some good pitching through trades, and they have a couple guys came up from the minors. And their studs are studs, and Robbie Ray has been amazing. He was kind of they didn't expect him to be as good as he has been. Their hitters are spectacular. They may have the best hitters in the American League. So I think they've got a chance, and I like this team. I'm not a huge Jays fan. I don't know why. I grew up outside of Toronto, so I kind of have my allegiance to some other places. But I like this team. They're young and they're fun and they seem to get along and they have smiles on their faces. So I love Vladdy, and I think Bichette is great, and George Springer, hopefully he stays healthy. So I think they're great. I think they'll be okay. I think you never know, right? Once they're in the playoffs, if you kind of get, and they are hot right now, if you can kind of ride the momentum, maybe they'll make it all the way. That'll be fun. That'll be a fun time in Toronto. If they win the World Series.
If they make it to the World Series, that would be a really good topic to put on the broadcast.
Absolutely. If they make, and then by the time we do our next one, which we do the third week of October, it'll be deep into the playoffs. So if they're still in it, maybe we'll do a special Blue Jays episode of our radio show. If that's what you want, Simon, you're the boss. I thought you did a really good job with those questions. There was a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff that the listeners won't understand, but you really worked hard to put this show together, and I thought you did a really, really good job, and you should be proud of yourself. And I look forward to the next one.
Dave, I know I usually talk to you on Tuesdays, but is it possible after I'm done with Tony on Thursday, is it possible that I can talk to you on that day after I'm done with Tony, like in the afternoon?
Sure, we'll figure something out. Thursday, it might have to be a little bit later on Thursday because I do a few things, but I can absolutely talk to you. It'll be fun. We can organize the show.
Yeah.
I love it.
There's something on my mind, but I'm not going to say it over the broadcast.
Okay, sure. We can talk in private. That'd be awesome.
All right.
What's your? I talked. We asked Tony. He said he was going to spend all, you know, looking forward to spending some time walking with clients, getting them active and out and moving around, which is so ridiculously important in these days. What are you planning for tomorrow?
What am I planning for tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Prepare my recycling bin, my garbage bin, you know, do a bit of maintenance around the house and see how my mom's leg is doing, you know, try to keep her healthy as much as I can.
You're a good kid. You're a good son. Good kid. We're all kids, but you're a good son. That's amazing. Well, in order for you to get some, in order for you to work hard tomorrow, you probably need to get your sleep tonight. So,
yeah.
you wanna call it a show?
Yeah, I guess we're done. Unless you wanna call, I don't think you set up anything with other clients.
I just set up to talk Tony, and I don't. That's the problem is if we don't arrange to talk to people before, it's hard to call them at 11:15 because I'm worried I'm waking them up. So we'll get some people on next week. I know you want to, we have another potential guest. Maybe we'll do two guests so we can have two, so we can stretch it out a bit. We'll talk about it.
We'll talk about it, but
this is
we'll
a good one. I love
it. We'll talk about it on Thursday night.
When you
call me by, I don't know, let's see, 5 o'clock after your dinner,
yeah,
or after my dinner.
I should be back from what I'm the around 5, so I'll give you a call.
Okay.
All right. You want to end it first? All right.
Yeah, we'll end it.
Okay. Thanks for listening to Brainstorm with Simon and Dave, with your host Simon, and I'm Dave, who Simon Let's Help Out, which is really fun. And we will see you next month. We're on the third Tuesday of every month. We are Brainstorm with Simon and Dave, all the way from Toronto, Canada. I hope you enjoyed, and we will talk to you next month. Good night and good.
Good night.